Okay, what we're going to talk about now is working the phones. Well, what the heck does that mean, working the phones? I know that I've had more than one distributor, Mike and Kim, come up to me and say, what do you mean by working the phones? How do you work the phones? So what we're going to talk about now is working the phones. And we've come up with 11 rules to contact and inviting with success. And first we want to do is just give you a little bit of a some things to think about before we get right into this. And these are just 11 things that we've come up with, 11 skills that we've developed, 11 things that we're constantly thinking about while we're on the phones, 11 things to keep in mind. You don't have to learn them all today, but over time, you will want to become an expert at these 11 things. First of all, whenever you sit down to schedule your phone time, you want to make sure it's scheduled out. And the best thing to do is to get your calendar out for the week or for the month and figure out what time works best for you. We have always found that Sunday night for us is the best phone time. We always get people at home, especially people with jobs. They're thinking about going back to work on Monday morning. It's just a great time to be able to work the phones for a couple of hours. So the first thing that you want to do is schedule out your phone time. If you're going to schedule out 2 hours on a Monday night from 7 to 9, that's great. But the reason that you want to schedule it out, first of all, is if the first two or three people aren't home or you get a no, then you give up and you start watching TV for the rest of the night.
You know, Steve, it's so important that people, especially our part-time people, which really, let's face it, 80 to 90% of us are part-timers, you know, you've got to schedule out that time. Otherwise, life will eat that time up. If you just think, you know, I'll work my business a little bit today, an hour today, 2 hours today, but you don't write that into your time and you don't schedule it and keep really treat that time, protect that time very much. It's very important when you've got that phone time and you're talking about that you've got a place in your house. We used to call it our war room, where we could close the door and everybody in the household knew when that door was closed, they didn't come walking through it because, you know, Dad was on the phone, Uncle Steve was on the phone, and they weren't going to bother us during that time because they knew if they did, we were going to get pretty mad.
Okay, Mike, and just like you're saying, you want to schedule out the phone time, the first thing. The second thing is, like you said, you want to get away from all distractions. You want to lock up the dog, lock up the kids, whatever you have to do, but have all background noise and all distractions away from you. The next thing that you want to do, and this sounds very basic, but you want to have a list of people to call. And I'm not saying that you have to list 200 or 300, but if you're going to be working the phones for an hour or 2 hours, you want to have a list of at least, I don't know, a half a dozen to 20 people, anywhere from really 10 to 20 people. So again, if you have a couple of bad phone calls or a few people you don't get home, you're not discouraged and you keep working through that list. The next thing is have something to invite them to. I don't think there's anything scarier for a brand new person picking up the phone, working the phones, than to just pick up the phone and their only goal is to tell their prospect about the opportunity. If you can have something to invite them to, maybe it's a one-on-one, maybe it's a two-on-one with your sponsor, maybe it's the fact that you're going to send them to your website or send them a long-distance package, maybe it's your weekly meeting, maybe it's an in-home meeting, but it's important. And like Mike said earlier in the training, there's going to be different things that you're going to invite different people to, but it's important that, first of all, like we said, that you set a certain time to make the phone calls. The next thing is eliminate all distractions. The third thing is to have a list of names, and finally, have something to invite them to. So the first point that we want to make, the first rule for contacting and inviting, is the person asking the questions is in charge. Again, rule number one is the person asking the questions is in charge. And simply what we mean by this is you're either in control of the phone call or your prospect takes control of the phone call. And I don't know how many times at the very beginning I went down a road I didn't want to go down. All of a sudden, I thought there was some interest and I said, well, do you have any questions? And then they start asking questions that A, I didn't know the answer to, B, I wasn't prepared to answer. And another thing is when I first get on the phone, I always like to ask, and I think people that have been in sales before, telephone sales, understand this. They always ask, is this a good time to talk?
You know, Steve, that's really important because when you're calling somebody up, let's face it, you're an interruption. And you know, you might not like that, but the essence of it is you're interrupting whatever they're doing in that moment. So I always say, like, just like you were talking about, is this a good time to talk? Do you have a minute or do you have 2 minutes? If I ask for a minute, I'm going to keep the call to a minute. Usually I'm going to ask, hey, do you have a couple of minutes? Now, it's very important in following up that you respect it and you only take a couple of minutes if they say yes. If they say no, you say, oh, okay, great, what would be a good time to call back? Not arguing with them or trying to get your foot in the door right there. If they say no, respect that. If people tell me, no, I'm in a meeting, I'd say, oh, great, I'll call you back later, and I get off the phone immediately.
That's a good point, Mike. And I always like to say when they say, if I ask them, do you have a minute? And they say, I have a couple of minutes. I say, me too. I'm very busy myself. I've got a list of, 20 phone calls or I'm running out the door, whatever, my answer is. I let them know that I've only got a couple of minutes and that time is of the essence too. Just the last thing on the person asking the questions is in charge is I always like to ask permission to ask. For instance, if I'm talking to Mike, I might say, Mike, can I ask you a couple of questions? And sometimes if you're in a phone conversation and you feel like you've lost control and they're asking the questions or they've taken control of the conversation, what I like to do is just stop it. And you can stop it by asking any question. Anytime you ask a question, the other person just feels a natural need to respond to your question. So if Mike's asking me, is this a pyramid thing and is this and that, I might say, Mike, can I ask you a couple of questions? And then those questions can be whenever you want. You told me that you were looking to make some extra income. Is that still true? My point is by asking a question, you can regain control of that conversation. So rule number one, the person asking the questions is in charge. Rule number two, be yourself. Kim, I'm going to throw it over to you for that because we actually have a different, not really philosophy, but just a different style. Kim likes to sit back and throw her legs up on the desk. I like to pace. I'm a pacer. I could walk all around the house. I could put on 20 or 30 miles in an afternoon. Well, Kim just likes to sit back and sip her tea.
Thanks, Steve. And, being yourself, I think, is the biggest key here. When I first started in network marketing, I didn't understand this concept because I felt like I had to use a script. I didn't know what to say on the phone. I felt really uncomfortable on the phone. I didn't know what to say. So, I would always ask, people, mentors, do you use a script? I mean, how do you become comfortable? Are you supposed to act like a salesperson? What are you supposed to do? And here's what I've come up with, and this is what I believe is so true, is just to be yourself. People love to, if you act like a salesperson, then you're going to get treated like a salesperson. And that's definitely not what you want to do, especially if you're talking to your best friend on the phone and inviting them out to a meeting or something like that. They immediately know that you're trying to sell them something, you're trying to convince them of something, and it's just not good. So I think that if you just be comfortable wherever you are, whatever makes you comfortable, whether it's sitting on the couch, whether it's in your office, whether you're pacing like Steve does, or whatever it might be, I think you just have to seriously just be comfortable, be yourself on the telephone, because people will be attracted to who you are, not really what you say. And then, for using a script, here's my thought. Yes and no, you sort of should have something outlined. You should have some key points. Now, if you use a script, sometimes it's just to, hi, my name is Kim Melia and I'm with da 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 da. And it just doesn't come out right. Again, it doesn't sound like yourself. So if you have a script, what I would suggest is just to have some key points instead about your company, about your product, good or service, a little bit of what you want to say, because you don't want to say too much anyways about it over the telephone. You definitely want to get on the call and off the call as soon as possible. So, my philosophy is don't use a script, have just key points in the outline.
Kim, I think the point you're making, and you made it well, is be who you are. I always like to say, if you call your friend dude, well, then keep calling your friend dude. But if you don't call people dude, then don't start calling them dude now. What we want to do is just run by you a couple of scenarios. We're going to have some fun here. And let's pretend that I'm calling Mike, and Mike is my brother, as he is. We don't have to act too much for this one. But let's act like, I try to go in there with either a script or I'm being different than I normally would be. Okay, so Mike, why don't you just start with hello, like you're answering the phone.
Yeah, hello.
Hi, Mike. It's Steve Melia calling.
Steve, what are you talking about?
Mike, I don't know if you would be interested or not, but recently I got involved with a company that's rapidly expanding in your area, and I would like to set up an appointment.
Steve, what are you talking about?
Mike, just let me finish, okay? It'll take about 15 minutes, and I'm not sure whether you'd be interested or not.
What? What's going on with you, man?
As you can see, most of us are like that when we first pick up the phones, and it's very awkward, not just for us, but obviously for our prospects as well. So let's have some fun with Kim over here. Kim, why don't you, act like we don't know each other, and what I'm going to do is I'm going to come in with more of a conversation that would be appropriate for Mike. Like, I'm just going to get on the phone and have some fun with you. So why don't you answer the phone like you normally would?
Hello.
That's very good. Hey, Kim, what's going on? How you been? What's going on?
Hello.
Hey, it's Steve. How you doing?
Fine. Steve who?
Oh, it's Steve Melia. Listen, I was wondering if you want to get together. I got something I want to run past you. I know you keep your business options open, right?
I'm sorry, Steve who?
This is Steve Melia. Listen, I want to see. It'll take about 15 minutes. I don't know if you'd probably be interested or not.
I've got another phone call. Could you give me a call back?
Okay, dude.
Okay, you get the picture, right? You get the picture, and it's pretty funny. Now, what you know? Let's change it around a little bit. Say, you know, I'm going to call my brother Steve now, and he's my brother Steve. He hasn't changed, but instead of being formal, I'm just going to, you know, I just found out about it, you know, and I'm just going to treat Steve the way I treat Steve. Okay, makes sense. Great. Ling ling ling.
Yellow.
Hey, Steve, it's Mike. What's up, man?
Hey, bro, what's going on?
Hey, listen, you're not going to believe what just happened. I got a call from my buddy John, and he was telling me about this project he's working on. He looks like we might have struck some gold here.
What's it all about?
I'm not really sure yet, but I'm getting the information from him tomorrow. It's this new company just starting up. It's pretty exciting. But remember we were talking about, like, you know, we got to find a way to make some serious cash? I think we got it.
All right, well, call me when you find out some more.
Okay, cool, buddy. Okay, so you get the picture right there. You know, it's just casual. It's just me and Steve talking. Just, you know, a couple of Yankee fans talking to each other. A couple of old buddies talking to each other. My brother, right? Not trying to do anything fancy. Okay, but now imagine this. I've never met Kim before. Or just say, you know, say this. I met Kim at a Leeds breakfast or something like that. She doesn't really know me very well, but I was impressed by how sharp she was. And I want to, you know, see if she might be interested. So here it goes. Ding-a-ling-a-ling.
Hello.
Kimberly, this is Mike Melia. I'm not sure if you remember me. We met at the Chamber breakfast the other day.
Yeah, I think I remember.
Yeah, Kim, great. You know, I'm sure you recognize me. Most people recognize me by my voice. It's sort of unique, I guess.
Yeah, I remember meeting you at the very beginning.
Yeah, well, Kimberly, here's why I'm calling. I was very impressed with the way you handle yourself, your stature, and, you know, and you seem like a very sharp person.
I think you got the right person.
Well, Kimberly, you may or may not be interested, but I am working on a new business project that we're expanding down into Encinitas, California. And, you know, I really like to just maybe spend 15 or 20 minutes getting some information in your hands, have you review some information. Again, you might not be interested, but you just might be.
Great. I'd love to share something with you as well. So maybe we can get together for, this afternoon. I've got from 3 to 4 open.
Okay, great. You know, there's a Starbucks not that far away from where I know you live up in Encinitas. So why don't we meet there?
Sure.
Okay, 3 o'clock, good?
Sounds perfect.
Okay, great.
What we've covered so far is really just having fun on the phones. Number one is the person asking the questions is in charge. The second thing we talked about is being yourself. What we want to talk about now could probably be one of the most challenging, but if you can get this down, I think you can make a lot of money in this industry by working the phones. And that's don't say anything until you can say everything. Don't say anything until you can say everything. Here's one of the reasons it's very challenging is that, you know, you might call one person and you get a voicemail and the second person's not home and the third person, you know, is not interested, and the fourth person answers the phone, and they say, what's it all about? And man, are you ready? You tell them, you know, from the day the company started 30 years ago, everything that's happened. And 45 minutes later, not only are they not interested, but they don't really believe that they can do a part-time business when you've just spent 45 minutes on the phone with them.
You know, Steve, that's so important. I remember one time I was working with a guy and exactly was doing just what you said. He was on the phone with guys for a half hour, 35, 40 minutes. And I said, geez, you know, understand this. If you're telling somebody it's a part-time business, they can do the math. They can realize that, you know, if you're on the phone a half hour, they can only make 2 phone calls in an hour. Doesn't sound like much of a part-time business.
Well, Mike, I think you're being generous because I think that guy is me that you're talking about. I remember you had just come back from a network marketing seminar when we first got involved, so you understood some of the basics. And one thing that you understood is you get on the phone and you get off the phone. You get on the phone, you set the appointment, and you get off the phone. And I was on the phone with this woman from upstate New York for 45 minutes, and you're yelling and screaming and slamming things. I figured you just had a couple of bad phone calls. I didn't realize you were mad at me. And I got off the phone, and you started yelling at me. And I said, hey, I'm building rapport over here. And you said, you're not building anything, okay? You're wasting your time. And, you know, if what's she going to do is she's going to duplicate your behavior. If you're on the phone for 45 minutes, she's going to call up her top 5 people, and she's going to be on the phone for 45 minutes.
I think one of the good things to do is to use curiosity on your side. So the shorter that you are and the less that you say, and just a few bare-bone facts that you can say can build the curiosity in that. And, you know, when I make a phone call, sometimes what I do is I don't necessarily build for that event. I build for that person, that speaker. And so instead of saying so much about my company, I'll say more stuff about Mike if he was coming to town. He's one of the top distributors in the company. He's a great friend of mine. He does great presentations. If anything, he he's going to make you laugh, you know, something like that. And that way, they're not asking too many questions. I'm more or less trying to get them to understand that they're coming to meet the person, and then they're going to hear the information, and they can make the decision for themselves.
And again, the whole goal for these phone calls is to set an appointment. A lot of times what will happen is I'll call Mike, I'll set the appointment, and I'll figure, okay, I've already set the appointment. He wants to know a little bit. And then 20 minutes later, and I've had this happen many times, he'll say, you know what, I thought about it. I'm really just not interested. And I thought, well, what happened? I had an appointment set, and what I did is I talked myself right out of that appointment. So again, make sure that you don't say anything until you say everything, and give everybody the same opportunity to look at this business.
You know, when you're doing that, sometimes people will ask you questions, and you can say, hey, I really can't give it a fair shake to just tell you part of the story. You really need to see the whole picture. And for most people, that will make sense. Like Kim said, you want to have a few bullet points to hit about your company, something that really sets you aside from others and things like that, but you don't want to go into the story. And, when Steve and I were back in that time where we were, talking about getting on the phone, get the appointment and get off the phone, it's a couple of things that are very important now. We used to use an egg timer. I used to use it because the egg timer was 3 minutes. And that way I saw that egg timer, and as I was getting down, I knew it was time to start wrapping that call up. So I'd get on the phone, get off the phone as soon as I could. Here's the other thing about time. Again, I just think everyone's heard the principle as if, acting as if. Well, if you want to really make the big bucks in network marketing, and I believe if you're listening, you probably do, then you want to act as if your time is very valuable. What do I mean by that? Imagine this. Imagine if your time was worth $1,000 a day. If it was worth $1,000 a day, how much time would you spend on each phone call? What people would you talk to, and what people would you absolutely no longer talk to? Because sometimes I'm telling you, we're in the business of qualifying people, but the other side of qualifying is disqualifying. Not everybody's good for your opportunity. If I'm on the phone with somebody and they start complaining and whining and stuff like that, you know what? They're not going to change their habitual way of being once they get involved in my business. They're going to still be complainers and whiners. So, sometimes when you're on those phone calls, besides qualifying somebody, you're disqualifying people.
Number four. Use their hot buttons to invite. Most of the time what we do is we're so excited about our opportunity, about our business, about our company, about our last paycheck that we get on the phone and we tell everybody all about it. And everybody's tuned in to their favorite radio station, WIIFM, What's in It for Me. Now, people do business with people that they know, like, and trust. So if you've got a list of people that know you, like, and trust you, or maybe that you know, like, and trust, you probably know a few things about them. What I recommend in a very easy fashion is as you're calling somebody, just jot down what are their hot buttons. In fact, we're going to talk about three-way phone calling in a little bit. When I get on a three-way phone call with a prospect and a new distributor, I say, what are their hot buttons? What are they motivated by? And, maybe they have a couple small children that they don't get to spend time with. Maybe they're in the real estate business and they're working every single weekend. Maybe they're just broke. Maybe they're just tired of living where they're living. Whatever their situation is, if I can match their hot button to why I want them to come out. A very easy example would be, Kim, were you serious when you told me that you really wanted to start your own home-based business, or were you just kidding around? Or Kim, were you serious when you told me that you were sick and tired of getting up at 6 o'clock every day and getting home every day at 7 p.m.? So if you can match their hot buttons out to an invitation, I think you'll have a lot of success.
Yes, Steve, one of our favorite books is to How to Win Friends and Influence People by Dale Carnegie, and this reminds me of a section in that book that it's called Six Ways to Make People Like You. And I think that, first of all, I want you to go out and get the book, and I want you to definitely read the whole book. As a benefit to you, what I could do is I could send you a copy of the Six Ways immediately if you want to go ahead and email me at kim@kimmelia.com, and that's kim@kimmelia.com, and just put in the subject line Six Ways, and what I'll do is I can email that to you immediately so you'll have it in front of your screen so you can start learning those six ways as soon as possible.
Great, and remember when you send those emails that she is married, okay? Let's just keep that in mind. What we talked about so far is taking charge of the conversation, being yourself, don't say anything until you can say everything, using their hot buttons to invite to something. Okay, number five, what we want to talk about is creating a sense of urgency. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to turn it right over to my brother, because if there's anybody, maybe you could hear it in his voice, he has a sense of urgency. Everything he does, my brother seems to have a sense of urgency.
Hey, Steve, I remember when we first got started, I was literally afraid that if we didn't get the news out to all the people we knew, somebody else was going to. And I think, you know, whether you really feel that way or not, you want to act as if that's true. So that way, when you're getting on the phone and you're telling people, hey, you know, I've only got a couple of minutes. The reason I'm calling you today is dot, dot, dot. And listen, when you get on the phone with people, particularly people that you know, sometimes, I haven't talked to, you know, I'm calling Kim and she's an old friend of mine, but I haven't talked to her in maybe, you know, a year or 2 years. I don't want to get on the phone with her and schmooze and this and that and the other thing. And then, oh, by the way, I'm working on this new project, because she might feel, you know, and arguably, understandably so, she might feel manipulated by something like that. I'm going to get on the phone with her and say, Kim, listen, I know we haven't spoken in a while, but the reason I'm calling is I was just exposed to this fantastic business idea, and I'd like to share it with you, you know. Maybe you and I can get together, and then we'll also have some time to catch up, see what's going on in each other's lives. So, you know, I mean, just understand that it builds a sense of urgency when you understand, you know, like the other part of that, you know, say she wants to schmooze right now, and I really don't have time because I've got 20 phone calls to make. So I say, listen, Kim, because of this project I'm working on, I'm really busy right now. Let's catch up when we see each other.
And this reminds me of when I first started, Mike. You know, I definitely was not a toe dipper. I just, you know, I dove right in, and I believe that toe dippers attract toe dippers. And I had this sense of urgency, definitely, as you'll hear in my story later on in the audio, that definitely I had a reason that there was urgency. You know, we wanted to contact everybody that we knew. But let me just give you a few tips here, because I think what some people do when they're contacting and inviting and using the sense of urgency or not using the sense of urgency is they'll contact invite and say, I'm inviting Steve, and I'll say, Steve, you know, I have a great guy who's coming in on Thursday. His name is Mike Melia. He is my brother-in-law. He's my business partner. He's a funny guy. He's a great guy. You gotta meet him. He's so great to listen to. But you know, can he make it this week on Thursday? And Steve's gonna say, well, Thursday I'm busy. I've got this or I've got that. And then I'm gonna say, okay, well, don't worry about it, because next week we have, you know, George coming in town, and he's a great guy too. And what we don't want to do is we don't want to let them know we have meetings every week. We got to create that sense of urgency that it's this week only. This is the only time Mike is in town, and you've got to meet this guy. You've got to see him.
You know, I remember, and I used to laugh at this one day. I would listen to Steve on the phone. This is about 2 or 3 months into the business, and we were having an event the very next morning. It was a Friday afternoon. It was a Saturday morning event, and someone was telling him now they couldn't do it, and he says, I don't know, man. If I had brain surgery, I would cancel it, you know. And of course, that does two things. It shows you that Steve really believes it's important, but he also creates humor there. He also gets the other person laughing. I know this, and we're building a business. You want to have fun. People are not looking for more serious stuff. They got enough serious stuff in their lives.
Mike, that's funny. I do remember when I said that too. You know, I like to have as much fun on the phone. Kim's seen me do this before. I'll start knocking on the wall, and she's looking at me like, what's he doing now? And the person, I go, can you hear that? And they go, yeah, what was that? And I go, that's opportunity, and it's knocking, and it's not going to be knocking for long, right? So having a sense of urgency in your business is so important. Mike, I remember another time where I was on the phone with this guy, and I said, I don't mean to be too personal, but again, what we're trying to do is get people to think, right? And I said, how much, you know, if it's not too personal, how much do you think you make, I don't know, per hour? And I said, I don't even answer that because I don't want to get too personal. But let's say it's $50, right? How much would I have to pay you to come out and take a look at my opportunity? I'm not saying I'm going to, but what I'm going to tell you is if you come to my meeting and you're not interested, I'd be willing to write a check for your time, okay? And I'm not saying that that's the way to do it, but what I'm saying is you're getting people to think that what you have is important. And I always believe that, hey, if they don't think that you think it's important, how on earth can they think that it's important?
And one other thing here, you know, when you're calling somebody and you're wanting, especially if it's somebody that you know that you haven't talked to for 10 years, I mean, how do you do that without sounding like a salesperson, like you're only calling for one reason? Well, it's okay to call for that reason because, you know, when I was doing my list of names, I came up with some people that I hadn't talked to in a long time, and these were the first 10 people that I wanted to contact right away. But so the way to get into that conversation and feel comfortable about it is when you start the conversation, why not just to say, the reason why I'm calling today is this. And then you can at least get that out front, because if you don't say it until halfway through or near the end of the conversation, the urgency isn't there. So you can still do a little bit of the schmoozing. Hi, how are you? Of course you want to know how they are. You haven't seen them or spoke to them in so long. But you can say, the reason why I'm calling today is this, da 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 da. And then you can say, I've got to get off the phone right now, or I've got to get going, but let me give you a call back, and we can discuss more about that, or I'll see you on Thursday, and we'll have dinner before we go to the meeting. Now, you can hear the passion in these guys' voice. I mean, can you imagine them calling you and Steve knocking? That to me was so funny, but let me keep in mind, where you are today is not where you are going to be in 3 years or 3 months even, or after you do 100 phone calls. So it's okay to be a little scared. And Steve, I know you have a funny story about when you made your first phone calls.
Kim, I remember, for weeks, Mike told me, have you made your list? Have you made your list? Have you made your list? So finally I made my list and I made my first bunch of phone calls. And you know, the first one's maybe not as hard, I think, as the second one when you're following up. I remember I sent a guy a video, just a college buddy, nice guy. And I remembered, he told me to call him back at 3 o'clock the next day, and I watched that clock the whole day. And at 3 o'clock, I was shaking, I was sweating, I hadn't, my stomach hurt. And I'm picking up the phone, praying that he wouldn't answer the phone. And when I got his voicemail, I'm just, I must have done something right on this planet. Because he didn't answer the phone that day. But so here's our message to the listeners, is that we know where you're at, okay? There's nothing more difficult, I believe, nothing more out of your comfort zone than making those first 10, 20, 30, 40, 50 phone calls. But here's the exciting thing. It's just like anything that you're doing, from riding a bike to driving a stick shift in your car, is that it's very awkward and uncomfortable at first, but over time, through practice and through some success, and as you're gaining confidence, this will be as fun and as easy as it is for us.
Like when we first got started, and not even when we were a few months in this, at this one point, I remember we were starting, and we used to take the flip chart out, because we just getting those first few phone calls going was tough. So we would draw a circle, and we would say, this is the comfort zone. And then right in the middle of the circle, we put a dot, and that's when you're most comfortable. And we say, well, who could we call that we'd be most comfortable with? I remember once I called my mom, right? It was just easy to make that first phone call. And then we would slowly say, well, who'd be a little more uncomfortable? Who'd be a little more uncomfortable? And eventually we get all the way out to the end of that circle where we'd start to just, not break out of our comfort zone, but just step gently out of our comfort zone. And that really helped us to expand our capacity to call anybody, really, when you come down to it.
Okay, so what we've been talking about so far are rules for you to contact and invite with success. And this is all about picking up the phone. And obviously, the skills that we're talking about are transferable to other things. But what we want you to do is feel comfortable. Because if there's one skill, I believe, that will make you lots of money in this business, it's picking up the phone and telling someone about your company or your opportunity that's never heard about it before. So we've talked about the person asking the questions is in charge, being yourself, feeling comfortable on the phone, saying a limited amount, don't say anything until you can say everything, using their hot buttons to invite, creating that sense of urgency. And the sixth thing that we want to talk about is to use a fear of loss. And a lot of times people will act out of a fear of loss more so than to gain. And Mike, I know that when I first got involved, it was coming on the holiday season. In fact, it was the end of November when we first got involved in the industry, and a lot of people had told you, hey, maybe we should wait till after the holidays. And I said, yeah, maybe that's a great idea. And you definitely used the fear of loss when you recruited me.
Yeah, Steve. I laugh at that all the time. It really is a great story, And I remember particularly when I was, and again, you look at it, I was looking at your hot buttons. I really knew without a doubt that you wanted to make a lot of money. Ever since you were a little kid, you were 6 years old, someone says, what do you want to be when you grow up? You say, oh, that's easy. I want to be a millionaire. And all through your teenage years, even when you came out of college and you went into selling perfume door to door, you did it with that vision of becoming wealthy. In fact, the reason I recruited you as my partner, before we got involved in network marketing and business, was because I wanted to be with somebody who was getting wealthy. I was 42 years old and not wealthy, and you were 23 years old with a dream of becoming wealthy. So I was plugging in and truly tapping into your passion. But, using fear of loss, when there you were, and you say, well, I don't know, maybe we should wait. And I said, you know what? I'm going to build this thing with or without you is really the way it's going to go. And how I see you is I see you being my number one leader in New York. Now, you can take that position or I can get someone else to take that position. And I know that, you can tell the story from there.
Well, it was funny. It was because you said that exact thing to me. You can be my guy in New York or I can find somebody else. And at the time, it cost, I think, $300 or $400 to get involved. And I didn't have the money. I was dead broke. And I had to go to my sister, who I was already living with at the time, rent free. And so to ask her for another $300 or $400 was definitely out of my comfort zone. But because of the fear of loss that you created, I decided to do that. And what we want you to understand here is that fear of loss is an attitude. I'm going to the top with or without you. And, you know, people, if you're hesitant, people don't want to do business with you. But even if you're wrong, but you know where you're going, people will follow you. I think Forrest Gump is a great example of someone that just went, and all of a sudden, you know, people didn't know why, but they just sort of followed him.
And Steve, you know, this reminds me of when I first got involved again, that, you know, I took the attitude of being very strong and being very in control of the conversations. You know, very shortly into it, I found that if I had the attitude of I'm going to the top with or without you, that people would be attracted to, what do you mean the top, or where are you going without me? The fear of loss of not being able to come with me because of the excitement in my voice, because of the attitude that I had, that I didn't really care if they were interested or not. I sort of did care, of course, if they were interested or not, but I didn't care if they were going to say yes or no to me. I was going to go with or without them. And at that instant, people just go, wow, okay, I'm going to come to the meeting because I'm going to check it out for myself because I need to know for me. And then they can make the decision. I think people need to understand that the people need to make the decision. Your job is to really go out there and have a strong attitude and make sure that people understand that you really, really, it doesn't matter. You're going to the top, and if they want to come, then they can come along for the ride.